This is a Federal News Network podcast.
The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Sean Kelly, who is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, former CISO at EPA and former deputy CIO at Veterans Affairs on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Cyber Chat, where government leaders come to discuss the hottest cyber topics affecting us today. Now your host, Sean Kelly.
Today we're going to be talking to Venus Goodwine, USDA Chief Information Security Officer. Venus, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Sean. It's my pleasure.
So tell us about you. Tell us a little bit about you to start off the show.
All righty. So just a little bit about me. I have been at USDA for over a year now as a CISO. But prior to that, I actually had my roots 33 years in between Department of Defense, both as an active duty military member as well
as a
civilian. Air Force, of course.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Yes, and so with that, my years, over 30 years in IT as well as intelligence, and then of course cybersecurity, so that landed me here at Department of Agriculture.
And so what made you want to become USDA CISO?
Well, you know, I can actually owe that to my mentor, Mr. P. Kim, who was a CISO for the Air Force at the time. Believe it or not, I started out, I wanted to be an actual CIO, so that is pretty interesting. But after really working in the industry and understanding the intricacies about cybersecurity, that is the route I decided to take. And so USDA is really interesting to me because the mission really is similar to what I'm used to in working for the Air Force, because that broad mission with the different mission areas really allows for a lot of flexibility and creativity when it comes to cybersecurity.
Okay. You know, so part of the CISO's job is the risk management framework, the risk management process. And what is your opinion of the risk management process? How does it actually improve the overall posture of an organization's cybersecurity?
If done correctly, yes.
Key
and
question.
What do I mean by that? Because it is called the risk management framework. And management, that M is key, because often we think it's a risk mitigation framework, and it's not. The intent really is to understand, in my perspective, all of the risk across USDA. Rather, it's risk to my financial system or risk to my research systems or to my food safety or food security, any of those individual systems or data types, because risk management allows me to identify the risk and then to determine what's going to be my risk response to those particular risks. And then as a CISO, my job is to look at that on an enterprise level and understand how one risk affects the other.
But you're also talking about it from a very mature standpoint. And I think that a lot of people take a compliance view of this. What happens when they take a compliance? Does it really help at that point?
Well, yeah, so there is a component of RMF that is still compliance, right? Compliance is not a bad thing. It's bad if all you do is comply.
Agreed.
Right? So I think that you have to include compliance, because there's particular policies that I put out and I need my particular agencies and mission areas to comply with those. But the risk portion of that is me understanding the residual risk that they're accepting as a result of risk management framework. And what I mean by that is when an agency cannot, for some reason, and address a particular countermeasure or control in this case, and they decide to, there's a POAM. Mm-hmm. How does that POAM, that residual risk, then promulgate across and its effect across the rest of the enterprise? That's where the risk management framework helps you really do have that posture, because I can understand a posture for a particular system, and then I can also understand it as it relates to all of USDA.
And you mentioned the agencies or other organizations within an organization that people may have. How do you get them to buy into this? Outside of them just thinking, I can't put something on the network unless I have it. But how do you apply? How do you tackle this?
I think because my roles, we've matured in our role as CISOs. Before it was, can I go on your network? No, you cannot. Today, we've changed the conversation that most CISOs, myself and my counterparts, we look at risk as a business enabler. And my job is to ensure the mission of the agencies of USDA. So when they come to me and talk about, you know, they need an ATO, my job is to get to yes for them. So keeping the business purpose in mind is what has helped me to really get that buy-in throughout my organization, because I understand their mission, I understand their business, I understand their needs and objectives, and then I use cybersecurity as an enabler.
So you try to partner with them.
Absolutely. Relationship building is key.
And do you see that that's starting to gain you some dividends?
Absolutely. Of course, I would say yes, but you'd probably have to ask my assistant CIOs. But I think they will agree that I've made a concerted effort and a real deliberate effort to meet with them and to understand their individual missions. And then, of course, be at the beginning of their idea process or their investment process, meaning I've shift left cybersecurity to the left, really. And so when you think about requirements, you think about cybersecurity. And I like to say, you know, requirements to relationships. So if I can do that well within a mission area and partner with them, absolutely.
No, Chad Chevron was on a couple of months ago and he spoke very highly of you. And so there is the proof right there. So, you know, as we start to go down this process, the RMF process is expensive.
Yes.
There's a lot of expertise. There's a lot of man hours in it. Does it justify the cost?
Well, you have to look at what is the risk? What is the cost if you don't do it? Right. And that's where that's part of the risk conversation, because it's vulnerability times threat and likelihood. But then consequence is part of that. Mm-hmm. So when I'm making risk decisions and I and educate and encourage my team to make risk decisions, it's what if we don't do that? What would be the impact? And then what would be the cost? And the costs aren't always just financial, okay, of course, because even in the federal government, we have reputational costs, because mm-hmm. the information that I provide to the citizen public, they need to know that that information is authoritative and that it can be trusted.
No, absolutely. And you get into data, you know, the data owners really have to understand this. And they probably, you know, I want to say that they have to be your best friend, but at the same time, I could see some resistance from any user population as you put more requirements on them. You guys have a lot of data.
Absolutely. We have a very broad and expansive mission at USDA. And data owners, that is key that you mentioned that particular role. And, you know, we often say system owner. Well, yes, you think about the system owner, but it's the data that I am trying to protect and protect at the level required. So data ownership and my partnership with them and educating them on using the right countermeasures to protect their data is important, because that also lends to the right investment decision when you talked about costs before.
Are you seeing us move slightly away from a perimeter defense to more data-centric defense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're definitely moving that way, because where is my perimeter? It's gone, because my data is at Starbucks with VPN. My data is at home on computers, because I allow you to have a CAC and VPN. So my data is no longer between, you know, in four walls. So my data is now everywhere. So I need to have a good idea of where that data is and given the right level of access to that data from the right location.
You know, I think it's interesting you say that, because your background, Intel, DOD, would not lean a forward-leaning CISO to talk about allowing VPN from Starbucks or a hotspot or one of those locations, but you are. And what helped you make that adjustment or change?
Because my mantra is business drives cybersecurity. I have no job and no business in the workplace. I have no place at USDA if I'm not going to enable the mission. So I walked in today in the door when I started a year ago, and I said to all of my ACIOs, tell me what your business is. Tell me how I can help you. And then I said, your business drives cybersecurity. You tell me what you need and we'll get to yes.
You know, it's I now being removed from the government a couple years, I will tell you is that when I talk to product companies, that when you deal with DOD and Intel, the conversation is much easier, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that civilian organizations don't get it, but when you're on the Intel side and the DOD side, the consequences are much more defined and they're much easier to understand. But let's talk about that. I mean, when we talk about the industry offering better products and services, how can they do so?
When I talk to industry and everyone will tell you, I say I purchase capabilities, not tools. There are a lot of tools. And but what I'm looking for is a capability. And what capability am I looking for? When I you talk about my background, my DOD background, one of the things that we learned in that background is mission essential functions and mission essential tasks. And so at USDA, we have those as well, that because we are one of the critical sectors. So it's important for me to understand what those mission essential functions are. So in doing that, the capabilities that I purchase have to secure those mission essential functions. So industry should lean towards understanding what those capability requirements are for USDA. And they'll differ depending on the civilian agency that you work with. For instance, if I am trying to buy a capability because I have, you know, rural development, which provides, as you know, services to rural America. How do I do that? Because that's a financial institution. So what capability would I need to protect their data? So I think when I deal with industries and I talk about the capabilities of products and services, the other thing I've done is my whole program is rooted and grounded in the cybersecurity framework, which is how we're measured mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So if you can tell me what capability is aligned, what your tool aligns to which capability that, which meets the cybersecurity framework, that's how we can start to have the conversation. So I think that's a good focus for industry.
My guest today is Venus Goodwine, USDA CISO. Venus, before we went on, we were talking about tools and services and how industry can help. So you came on a year ago. How'd you approach this?
And so my approach when I arrived at USDA, when I looked across the enterprise to look at all the cybersecurity tools, and believe me, there were a lot within the organization, I did what I call the tools rationalization. Now, most of us are familiar with the apps rationalization. Before you move to the cloud, you want to make sure that your app has been rationalized so that you can maximize the efficiency and effectiveness of moving to the cloud. The same is true when you talk about cybersecurity and you talk about tools. You want to make sure that within your technology stack, you actually have the right tool that meets its intended purposes. So what that looked like was me meeting with the vendor, any said vendor A within that was already in my enterprise, and I met with them and asked, can you tell me what I purchased from you? You're in my environment. What did I buy? What is the capability? And am I using everything that I purchased from you to the maximum extent possible? And it became a conversation. And I did that with multiple vendors.
Okay.
And I was very transparent with them because I wanted them to understand why I was doing that, because what I needed to do was eliminate duplicity. Mm. You know, I had 8 different antivirus because USDA is large. You know, 29 agencies and staff offices before we came into the mission areas. So you might imagine that they all purchased their own capabilities. And so the tools rationalization helped me, and I'm continuing to do that now, but it helped me to really set a framework around how I was going to provide cybersecurity services to USDA in whole.
And how was the reception to that conversation?
Very good. Because I started with, it is important of a public-private partnership. It is important that I partner with my industry and tool providers. That was important for me. And they were very receptive. And so my goal at the end of that was to create a roadmap so that I will understand that I can maximize my investment as well.
Okay. Was there anybody that's no longer supporting you? And you don't have to say who they are.
Well, absolutely. Because again, I had 8 different antivirus and I did not need 8.
And let me tell you why I ask. Did they bestow upon you that they understood the value to USDA more than their bottom line? And that's why I asked that question.
You know what? And believe it or not, I will tell you what most of them said was they thanked me, one, for the conversation. And having that conversation and being transparent with them about what my intent was. And also what you learn is there are vendors that can do multiple things, but mm-hmm. some do some things better than others. So I wanted them to, whatever your niche was, that is what I wanted to use you for. Because you can buy a tool and they could do 4 or 5 different okay. things, but there is a niche. And so I was really honing in on that. What is your niche? I know you can do these other things, but let's use you for this. And so I think that conversation, and it was welcome. So I've spent the time with them. And again, I think they appreciated my honesty. And it wasn't me just having meetings and, you know, and stringing people along knowing that I was going to make an ultimate decision.
No, and agree that people at times when they get into that kind of conversation can start to hide stuff or not give you all the information. And so what would be, you know, for vendors that I hope that more people are having these kind of conversations. As they get into these conversations, what would be your advice to them on how to approach it?
Every relationship starts with trust. So agreed. I think that there needs to be a mutual trust amongst us. Meaning, I will ask you questions, and the intent is that you would be honest with me. And when they ask me questions, I will be honest back with them. So that builds that trust amongst us. So that's where I come with that partnership. Why that's important, because it's the foundation of it is going to be trust. So when we have the conversation, and if I'm going to sunset a tool, they won't hear about it on the news or on the radio. They will hear it from me first because of decisions that I make. And that's where that transparency comes in.
There's nothing wrong with you announcing it on the show, though. I mean, you know, we're okay with exclusivities. So let's talk about, there's a lot of talk. I mean, it's a buzzword right now. Cyber supply chain. How do you use it, or how are you going to use it in the future?
Well, see, this is very interesting, and I really like that the Rev2 version, really, from NIST of the risk management framework Rev2, I like that it has actually incorporated supply chain actually as the inclusive into the controls, as opposed to an aside or an appendix, because knowing where things are coming from is very important, because that's where your risks start. Because we buy, and you know, being USDA, we do business with entities outside the United States. Mm-hmm. And so while there is trust, but there's a trust but verify. So I think supply chain allows us to do that, understand the origin so that we can put the right countermeasures and control in place for it.
Do you think we're going to really make the progress? You know, everybody has made this out that all these products and services, they're going to come already screened. They're already secure, with quote, mm-hmm. with quotations. Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to really see if that really we're getting what's advertised?
No, I can't really say that I've seen it, because again, we're still, even at USDA, like some of the other civilian agencies, yes, we're incorporating, we're having a conversation, building strategies around it, but I have not fully implemented, so I don't have any measurements at this time to tell you, but it's definitely on the radar.
No, I understand. I mean, it's just one of those things that we've seen a lot of talk about it, and you're just kind of wondering, are we seeing the bang for the buck? So the RMF process, as we mentioned earlier, it's expensive. It's very labor intensive. Do we ever see a place that it could be fully automated?
I don't think fully automated, no, but I really think maximizing automation is going to be the key. And matter of fact, that's one of the objectives as, you know, revision 2.0, as you know, is that we need to automate, as much as humanly possible, because that's where we use things like RPAs, or that's where we use artificial intelligence and machine learning, because that is going to allow us really to move more towards the higher analytics piece that's going to allow us to know exactly the threats to our data. So yes, I think that there won't be full automation, but definitely maximizing automation is going to definitely be a benefit. And to your point, it's where you're going to save your money the most.
My guest today is Venus Goodwine, USDA Sizzle. So have you started any automation of the RMF process?
Well, actually, yes. What we have done is I have awarded a contract to a company called Arlo Solutions Incorporated. And one of the tasks they are required to do is to maximize automation within my RMF 2.0 process. So besides that, not only just automating, you know, the controls or the answer to the controls, but also automating the process itself and using a tool to do that. So that's the next step at USDA, is we're trying to do to automate and really have the cost savings that you talked about, because risk management should not be laborious and it should not be expensive. It should be cost effective based on the data that it's used to protect.
And so award's been done, and they'll start onboarding and getting their PIV cards and 6 to 10 months. And then, you know, I'm joking, everybody. I don't want to get any hate calls from USDA. And they'll get on board. How soon do you think you'll start seeing some progress from that effort?
And so it's a phased approach. And so what I've allowed them to do first, what we've tasked them to do with the statement of work, is to make sure the current assessment, and that's why the tools rationalization plays into this as well, so they know what tools we're going to use, and they've already went through the idea of mapping the tools within the controls as well. And so what we expect that by the end of the year, we'll have handed to us what's going to be RMF 2.0 for USDA.
Of 2020.
Absolutely.
Okay. I will have to have you back on to talk about that.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
I am too. I think that'll be a nice piece to talk about. Let's shift back a little bit. We talked about the risk management process, and we talked about risk management framework, but risk management, we talked about the management part of managing risk. You kind of already dove into this question I had, which was having conversations, building that trust, identifying consequences, countermeasures, et cetera. How do we get into mature conversations with the customers, agencies, business customers? How do we get that to a mature level? They start to see us as a business ally.
Absolutely. So I think risk management needs to be, when I say enterprise at this case, I don't mean just enterprise from a technology standpoint, but risk management as an organization needs to take place. Meaning when we talk about financial risk or programmatic risk, we bring in cybersecurity risk and physical risk. There needs to be a conversation about all risk within an organization, because risk that I am accepting from a cybersecurity standpoint actually could have an effect even on personnel risk. And so I think when you talk about how should it be done, it needs to include every stakeholder every time.
Okay.
And that is the entire organization, including the business owners, but include those functional owners as well, your HRM and your financial, and then your facilities. All of those risks needs to be included, and you need to have a governance body that really oversees that.
We could do a whole show on governance.
Absolutely.
That would probably be a boring show, though.
But that's what makes risk management work.
It does. And the active involvement by the business and IT and cybersecurity. So you've kind of talked about this already. But we get into intelligence, right? Once we really start to understand our vulnerabilities, passively and actively looking at those, once we get into understanding as the SOC is seeing traffic going across and how that affects it, we really get into this thing called intelligence. And people call it threat intelligence. People call it a whole bunch of things. But first, how far do you think you guys are from having that level of conversation? Or are you there?
No, I think we're in process.
Okay.
I think we're in progress with doing that. At least we've identified what we need to know. But now we need to fine tune that and what I need to know for a particular data type. And I won't say missionary, because I have data types that cross multiple mission areas. But when you talk about, and I was talking about this with my special assistant, when you talk, what is intelligence, right? It is, I gain knowledge, mm-hmm. but intelligence is applying that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I move from what I know about the vulnerabilities in my environment to knowing what needs to happen? What do I do with the knowledge that I have?
Agreed.
So I think that's the next level in how we mature that conversation. One, because everyone needs to understand what risk is. Mm-hmm. What does it actually mean? You know, when we moved from DICAB compliance to risk management, mm-hmm. we just automatically assumed everyone understood risk.
Agreed.
But that's that education piece that was missing. So if we can mature everyone to understand risk and really the responses to risk, and you know, you accept risk, you transfer risk, mm-hmm. that will help you make decisions about what are you going to do when you're faced with the risk, a vulnerability, and then the requisite threat intel that goes with that. So I think if you want to take it to the intelligence level, yes, I automate it, but having systems in place that know what to do when certain things happen, that's the intelligence piece of it, knowing how to act with the knowledge that you have.
And I know you say you're in the process, and this is more of an opinion question. I've always felt the big agencies are in really good shape. The small agencies are still coming up. And then the medium ones are somewhere in between. How do we bring ourselves all the way up? How do we come up together as an entire federal ecosystem?
Continue sharing. Those that know, teach those that don't. You know, and it's one of those things you always pull up, right? Whenever you have something that works for you, you share. And so we do that. That's why we have the CISO Council, because it gives us the opportunity to talk among CISOs, at least within the larger agencies and some small that participate. But that's our forum where we get to share and compare. Hey, I had this problem. I solved it this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we continue to have those conversations with all these within these bodies that have multi-agency participation, that's how I think we raise up the level in the conversation around risk management, as well as create intelligence.
Okay. So when you're not protecting USDA, what are you doing?
When I am not doing that, I have a passion to shape the minds in cybersecurity. And I do that as an adjunct professor at one of the community colleges.
Okay, outstanding. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Very, very good. This has been a really great show. The great ones always go fast. So my guest today has been Venus Goodwine, USDA Chief Information Security Officer. I am Sean Kelly. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter @Mr. Sean Kelly. We'll see you next month.
You've been listening to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Tune in Friday mornings at 10:30 or subscribe to this show on iTunes or Podcast One.